Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's A to Z of the human body. Today's topic, still in the letter A, but we're close. Amphiarthrotic. I'll spell it for you.
Arthrosis.
Or amphiarthrosis. You could say amphiarthrotic joint.
Yeah, you could.
But we'll say amphiarthrosis because Matt corrected me. Amphiarthroses or IS, depending on whether it's singular or plural.
Wow.
Is that correct?
I don't know.
Amphiarthrosis would be a joint, and amphiarthroses would be.
That's why you're in the big bucks, because you think about things deeper.
Yeah, I don't know how deep that particular thought is. I think it's basic English, to be honest. But anyway, Matt, this is your topic.
I think
topic.
It's more Greek than English. But anyway.
Well, let's see. Tell us the
etymology. What does this word mean?
What does this word mean, says Matt? As in, if I were to break it down etymologically,
yeah.
Amphi is like amphitheatre.
Great. And what does that mean?
It means a big open space filled with people to watch you play.
No, that's actually good, because I wouldn't have thought what is it?
Amphitheatre.
Amphitheatre. I wouldn't have thought that. I was going to say amphibian.
Oh. Mm. Are they both etymologically?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us.
But I think yours actually fits nicer.
So
amphitheatre.
Yes.
The amphi part.
Yes.
Just means on both different sides, all around, which makes sense because like the stage or the presenting area.
Yeah.
The crowd space is all around on both sides, wraps around it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you look at those Roman amphitheatres.
Yep.
That's kind of how it was. Nothing behind them,
yep,
but just kind of semi-circled around it.
And what about an amphibian?
Just means
both land and water.
Yeah, on both sides, okay. Water and land. Yeah,
both sides of the earth.
Yeah.
Not literally, but yes, I get that. Okay, so all right, so that's the amphi part.
And arthrosis is joint.
So yeah. It is a joint that's partly wrapped around or
both sides of the joint. So a joint, as a definition, is the connection between two bones. Right. So that's an articulation.
Yep, that's a conversation between the two.
Yep, yep. And so a amphiarthrosis has something to do with around or on both sides of that particular articulation.
All right.
Now, when we classify a joint, we can do so in usually in two ways. What's the way that you use that you remember?
Whether it's synovial or not.
No, just joint in general. How do you classify the different classes of joints in the body?
Oh, I used to say whether it's synarthrotic or...
Yeah.
What's the other one? You got synarthrotic or...
Amphi.
Amphiarthrotic.
Or di.
Or diarthrotic. Yeah. Okay. So amphiarthrotic isn't a type of synarthrotic joint.
No.
Oh, okay.
So that classification that you just mentioned, so syn, amphi, die, is in degrees of movement.
So synarthrotic is the most movable.
No, opposite. Syn, remember, is synthesis, joined.
Okay. So diarthrotic
is freely movable.
Freely movable.
So that would be the synovial joints.
Amphiarthrotic is limited movability.
That's right.
And synarthrotic is basically immovable.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
So
that's
this
one
one's sitting in the middle.
That's the one classification of joint. The other type is what type of connective tissues in between the joint.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
And that's got to do with whether it's
movable or not. So is that what you meant?
Go on.
So if you, the least movable, which
it's
is
a long time since I've lectured joints.
Yeah, yeah. And it is the top of your head. I just threw it at you.
Yeah.
Synarthrotic.
Yep.
No movement. It's a fibrous joint. So this is where two bones come together, like the sutures of your skull, and they are bound together by fibrotic tissue.
Yes.
So there's no, between the two bones, so there's no way that the bone can move unless
so you can
you're...
So you have a fibrous or a cartilaginous joint, right?
Well, cartilaginous is in the middle between the two.
Yes.
So, but fibrous in nature would be a synarthrotic joint because it's not movable.
Right.
Probably a tooth would be a similar example. Where
so
you've
the gum fossus?
Yeah. So you've got a bone of the tooth, if you kind of call that a bone, into the jaw.
Yep.
And then you've got fibrous tissue holding it in there.
Right. Gotcha. Mm. Okay. That's a good one. And like you said, the sutures as well would be that sort of fibrous synarthrotic joint.
Yep. Won't move.
But here we've got an amphiarthrotic joint. So it's got limited movability, but it's not – the way I've always thought about amphiarthrotic joints is that while they – can move, they're not really designed to move.
Not too
there
much.
Is just some degree of movement there that's allowed.
Yeah.
And the one I think about, correct me if I'm wrong, is the radius and ulna, right? They're two bones that are sitting next to each other.
Oh,
and
okay,
they're wrapped around.
With that membrane.
With that membrane. And while we can, you know, rotate, supinate and pronate
that's
our forearm.
That's a different location.
It's you know, the bones are moving. But it's not that connection between those two joints isn't designed for movement. That synarthrotic joint is limiting its movement intentionally to provide stability.
Yeah.
Another example is, again, is this the pubic symphysis?
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, and the vertebrae.
And the vertebrae.
Okay, so these are, well, when I think about these, they're more so they're, the joint or the connection between, so the pubic symphysis, we've got the two bone, what's the issue?
Pubis.
The pubis. So you've got the pubis right at the front of the hip isn't touching each other, but there's a bit of cartilage in between.
A disc.
And it's not really meant to move there, but it's there to allow for movement just in case it needs to, such as during pregnancy and also
well, that's
during
gonna
movement.
Well, that's going to become an example that I'm going to give in a second. For the clinical relevance of this particular topic.
You need more sleep.
Joint. Yes, I do.
And what about the vertebrae? So you've got the vertebral disc that sits between the vertebral bodies.
Yeah.
That also is a amphiarthrotic joint.
That's right.
And so that does allow for movement in regards to flexion, extension, and you know lateral. Flexion.
Yeah, primarily that's going to occur at the facet joints.
Okay.
So the superior and inferior zygapophyseal joints.
So it's, again, not necessarily meant for movement, but it's there because
it will allow it to happen.
Yes.
But it's not really where the movement occurs.
So is that, so do you agree with me when I say that when I think of amphiarthrotic joints, it can allow for some movement, but it's not really designed for movement. But it goes, I know that this part of the body will probably need some give every now and then. All right. Anyway, go on. I've hijacked your
topic. No, that's fine.
Topic.
So just to clarify all those terms that we used, when we look at a joint, the fibrous joints, which is a joint that is filled in the space with fibrotic tissue, these are termed synarthrotic joints.
Yeah.
And then when we go on the extreme, which is not movable, when we go on the other end, we have synovial joints, which are considered diarthrosis, which are freely movable joints.
Like all the synovial joints.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
That's right. Yeah. But then we have the ones that sit in the middle, which is cartilaginous. So the two bones that have cartilage in the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And one subtype of the cartilaginous joints are the amphiarthrosis.
Right.
So when we look at the cartilaginous joints, these are joints that have some degree of hyaline cartilage.
Yeah.
Hyaline cartilage between the two bone connections.
Yes.
Now, they can be further broken into by primary cartilaginous joint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is called a synchondrosis.
Right, yes, yes, yes.
And so that is a joined hyaline bone.
Okay.
Joint.
Yes.
So this would be, the classic example that's given this is growth plates.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Or the epiphyseal line.
Epiphyseal line.
Yep.
Because at the end of the bone, you've got a plate of hyaline cartilage and then more bone.
Yeah.
And that allows the bone to lengthen.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another example, you could say the first sternocostal joint. So where the rib joins the first rib joins the sternum. Okay. That would be a primary cartilaginous joint. But right. Today we're going to the amphiarthrosis, which are the symphysis joints.
Yeah.
Or symphysis joints. And these examples you gave two already, the intervertebral discs.
Yep.
The pubis synthesis or the symphysis pubis. Another one would be the manubrio-sternal joint.
Oh, yeah, at the sternum, yeah.
Yeah, or the sacrococcygeal joint, so where the coccyx join the sacrum.
But would that just be seen as like an intervertebral?
Yeah, like a disc, that's okay. Right. And so these are where two bones come together and there's a cartilage disc between them.
Yeah.
Okay, there's more movement than the primary joints.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely
more movement.
More movement than the primary.
Okay.
Primary cartilaginous joint, and there's definitely more movement than the synarthrosis, so that's the fibrous tissue. Now, when we do an example of these gone wrong,
mm-hmm.
you could give the example of the intervertebral discs that maybe herniate,
yeah.
where you've put too much force over time and the outer part of the disc essentially ruptures,
yeah.
and the inner part, the nucleus pulposus, pushes out through the annular fibrosis
mm-hmm.
into a space. Sometimes it comes into connection with a spinal root,
yep.
which then gives you condition like a radiculopathy. What is it called?
Radiculopathy. Yeah, because like it's so ridiculous.
So it's like sciatica.
Yeah.
As an example, you get referred pain and shooting electrical signals, but also weaknesses.
Yeah.
But the example I was going to give today was a dysfunction of the pubis synthesis.
Okay.
Which comes about usually in pregnancy, either leading up to birth or kind of around birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the huge amounts of hormones.
Yep.
So there are, you know, the estrogen, progesterone, but there's also relaxin, I think, which really
increases the laxity.
Laxity of the cartilaginous joints,
yep.
and one being the pubis synthesis, which is kind of what you want because you want to widen the pelvic brim to allow the baby's head to get out.
Mm.
But if it then makes it unstable, then the mothers start to develop a lot of pain into their thighs,
right.
and it could make it unstable to the point where it could cause serious issues, and they may have to work on like a belt stabilize the pelvis. And that becomes a fairly common consideration for many pregnant mothers. Like my wife had it to some degree.
Yeah.
Like a combination of that and sciatica, just by the change in the pelvis morphology from a baby developing or growing in that region, which is going to change posture dramatically, but also all those joints become lax.
It's in, which probably makes it go from being amphiarthrotic to slightly more, making it more movable, which shows how important it is to understand the degree of movability or mobility of these joints and why it's important.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, for physiotherapists, for example.
Definitely.
Needing to understand the degree of movements that should be occurring in these joints as opposed to the degree of movements that are occurring in the joints, and that if there's a difference between the two, what could potentially be done to help remedy this.
Yeah.
Because, for example, if you're thinking of the synarthrotic joint, like you said earlier, of your tooth and your gum, right, the specific joint called a gomphosis, if that's supposed to be immovable, right, because it's synarthrotic, but if there's more movability there, your teeth fall out.
Like your daughter.
But she's losing teeth due to being a child.
I know,
but I'm talking about you as an adult.
I'm just saying, surely what's happened to that joint is that presumably the tooth underneath it is pushing up.
Yes, loosening the joint.
Loosening, weakening those kind of ligaments that are holding the, I don't know, what is it, the root, the cementum into the actual bone of the jaw.
Have you ever heard of, if growth plates don't close and they remain cartilaginous, what that then means? Outside of if they remain cartilaginous and continue growing, obviously you can have
gigantism.
Correct. But I mean more so in regards to whether this joint is at risk of breaking more easily or be. Have you heard any? I don't know any information about that.
I'm not aware of them remaining open
for,
you know, into adulthood.
Mm.
I know that changes in, I think, estrogen is the reason for it closing.
Mm.
And I think that's why females close before the males, just because the estrogen changes its ability to grow and then close earlier. Yeah. I think they usually close a year or 2 years before a male would.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, males usually have a later growth spurt than females. Like usually most of the females are taller than the males in like early, late primary, early high school, and then the males
shoot up.
So, but if you were to get fractures through that plate, then that could cause problems because then you have
early closure.
Early closure, or they're just not growing, and therefore you have could have length, limb abnormality
issues. Yeah. All right.
So that condition is called pubic symphysis dysfunction.
Yep.
Usually, the gap between the two pubises with that fibrous disc is 5 millimeters, but in pregnancies that can get well beyond 10 millimeters, double, and to the point where it can pretty much, what's the word? Dislocate.
Wow.
And so that's where a physio...
Dislocate a amphiarthrotic joint would be rough.
And that has significant impact on the quality of life of the mother.
Of course.
So, you know, anything from high amounts of pain to all moving to depression and so forth.
Yeah.
So quite a serious issue.
Sounds like it. Matthew, thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.